if you love the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't it a joy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Give honor to Brother and Sister Horton tonight. Appreciate Brother Philip and his kind invitation to be back in camp meeting. And we've been looking forward to being here and appreciate the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Wonderful singing. And just appreciate the atmosphere to magnify and lift up the name of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And look like my assignment this week, amen, would be to get all of us half as excited as he is about being saved. Amen. If I could do that, if we could get half as excited. I remember preaching years ago for Brother Tracy Holden in Joplin, Missouri, at Hornet Holiness Church. Brother Shaw was preaching there, and a young kid was on the drums, and he was playing away, and some young folks do sometimes, they forget they're in the church house, and this young boy was just chomping on his gum, just big, even blew a couple bubbles. And Brother Shaw, I noticed watching him, and I got tickled watching Brother Shaw watch that boy. And Brother Shaw got up, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, if I can get you half as excited about Jesus as that boy is chewing that bubble gum, we're going to have revival." Man, that young boy, it was gone, man. He swallowed it right there on the drums. Boy, if we could get as excited. You remember what it's like when you first got saved? Yeah, there's about 13 of you. See, that's what I thought. It's going to take me all week to get us half as excited. How many remember what it was like when you got saved? Amen. Why don't you just stand to your feet tonight all over this building and let's praise the Lord with that first love, that first love. Ah, we love you, Lord. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We honor you. We love you. Ah, we glorify you, Lord. You're a wonderful God, a wonderful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Glory, glory, glory. Lord, we enter your gates with thanksgiving. We come into your courts with praise. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad, as the choir sang tonight, he brought us out? Praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm out, aren't you? Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, look with me tonight, Matthew chapter number 13. Amen. Matthew chapter number 13. Amen. Talk to you just for a few moments tonight, and let's get into this altar. Amen. Let's see what the Lord has for us. Would you stand tonight for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter number 13. Amen. Starting at verse number 19, my text is found in the 22nd verse. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the consequence of a crowded life. A crowded life. Amen. Maybe there's no one here tonight that feels this way, but it seems the folks that I pastor and other places that I preach, there's just so much of this life that seems to be crowding in to our minds, our souls, and before a long service goes by and we haven't even recognized that we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So I want to talk to you tonight about that consequence. If we let a lot of things come into our life and have a crowded life, I want to show you what God's Word, Jesus speaking, shows to us the consequence of that. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 19, if you have it, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches," notice what happens, "choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Amen. I want to stay in verse number 22. If you would, look with me again. Let's read it. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. How many want to hear the word tonight? I want to know what God's got for us. Hear the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight as you're seated in the presence of the Lord, the consequence of a crowded life. Pray with me one more time as we look to the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the day that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for this crowd. Thank you, Lord, for this pastor, this church, the hospitality, everything that's already been extended. Most of all, Lord, as I stand before you tonight, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would anoint my mind, my speech. But most of all, Lord, draw us to this altar tonight. Draw us closer to you. We'll praise you for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you're going to help me preach tonight, say amen. 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 I want to talk to you about this consequence of a crowded life. Amen. This is a passage of Scripture we've heard much greater preaching than what I'll do tonight, but I'll make my attempt at it. But the Bible tells us that there is a sower that goes forth and casts seed to bring forth a harvest. Four different scenarios or perspective are given out of this story, and it's one perspective that is of great interest to me tonight, and that is in verse number 22, the person that allows the seed or the word of God to be choked by the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I want you to know tonight, in my mind, I don't believe there's anything wrong with the seed in this story. The Bible is very clear in this parable that the seed is the Word of God. How many knows the Word of God is forever settled? Amen. The Word of God is immutable. The Word of God is inherent. I believe the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. And I don't believe any of us have the power tonight to change one little word in God's Word. How many know the psalmist said, as I said, it is forever settled in heaven. It is the Word of God. And when the world melts away with fervent heat and everything is given away, amen, I'm going to tell you, it's the Word of the Lord that stands and endures. And you and I will stand before God in the test of our measurements will be not what your ideas are or your philosophies or some kind of opinion, but it will be, thus saith the word of God. And so the seed is cast forth. The Bible said that there is one that brings forth, seems to bring forth fruit. It seems to take hold. And the Bible said that because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the word of God is choked out. The word of God is nullified. There is no fruit that is brought forth because of two things in this text. Mark adds a third one, and that is that the lust of things causes us to mitigate the power of God's word in our life. I don't know about you tonight, but I believe that God wants us, amen, to be delivered in spirit and soul and body. I don't believe God wants us halfway set free. I don't believe God wants us living in anxiety and pressure and stressed out with no joy and no peace and no power. But I believe God wants us walking in victory. Amen. God wants us walking in the anointing of God and the favor of God and the peace of God and the joy of God. Amen. I believe God wants us to have that. I believe it's paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Amen. If you believe that tonight, say amen. But what I'm realizing is there is a lot of Christians in our churches, specifically in America, that seem to be so stressed out, that seem to be so worried, that seem to be full of so much anxiety, it's as if the peace of God and the joy of God is absent of their life. If you would, that there's a lot of discontentment inside the church world. A lot of the Puritans from the 17th and 18th centuries, they wrote about this. They called it the hellish sin of discontentment. I want you to think about that tonight. The hellish sin of discontentment. Are you really content in what God has given to you? Are you content with the goodness of God in your life? There's a lot of folks that seem to be discontent. They seem to be pressured by life. They seem to have so much that's coming in upon them that statistics bear out that even inside the church world, that Americans are the most stressed out of any people on planet Earth. If you look at all of the industrialized nations of the world, Americans are the most stressed out. We've got the most stuff, we make the most money, but we're the most discontent of anybody in the world. And then when I step into the church house, it seems as if that same discontentment that I expect outside in the world for the unconverted and the man that's headed to hell, I expect them to be discontented. But when I come in the house of God, and it seems like it's hard to get folks to praise God, it's hard to get folks to worship God, it doesn't seem the joy of the Lord is present, or nobody seems to have much worship for God, and everybody's so stressed out, it makes me want to stop and say, what is going on? That's why I am drawn to this little text tonight, for Jesus said that when you find something that is choking out God's word, when you find what is choking out the things of God in your life, it'll be two things. It'll be the cares of this world, and it'll be the deceitfulness of riches. It'll be very simply, we've got too much stuff. Now, unless you can place that alongside another culture, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But if we brought Brother Hudson tonight to talk about the country, the culture of Myanmar, or if we brought some of these others that have been to Haiti or Panama, been to Rich, with Brother Rich to Panama. You can go back in the jungles. They don't know they're poor. You've been there. Brother Cody's been there a lot more than I have. Brother Matt, you've been Philippines. They don't know how poor they are. They don't know how poor they are. But when you have a service, and they say, we're going to have an all-night service. Literally, they're saying, we're going to have an all-night service. They might crank up around 7, 8, depending on what time you start. It'll be about 2 hours later. They're like some of my church folks. They can't get to church on time to save their life. So you say 7, they'll scale roll in about 9. But you get back in that jungle, you can be sweating, you can be swinging at gnats, you can be all kinds of things. But 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, they're shouting, they're dancing, they're running, they're worshiping God, they're slain in the spirit. Amen. In the spirit, they don't have church pews. They're sitting in the trees. You can preach to them and they'll sit in the trees. They'll roll in the mud. Are you saying, brother, we ought to go live in Panama? No. But what I am telling you is this. Amen. That we're so soft and we're so spoiled inside of the American church that if somebody's sitting in our pew or they don't sing our favorite song, if service goes 5 minutes too long, amen, we're not going to worship God. And we're going to leave with a bad attitude. But I would to God tonight that we'd gather in this little tabernacle on the first night of camp meeting and say, God, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd rather feel the joy of God. Amen. God, you can take it all. Amen. I can go to heaven without a house. I can go to heaven without a car. I can go to heaven without a new suit. But I got to have. I said, I've got to have the glory. I've got to have the power. I've got to have the spirit of the living God. Anybody in this building tonight, you'd be honest and say, you know what, preacher? I've been too worried about my stuff. I believe we ought to reach to the underprivileged of our communities. I had, if they told me right, we had 45 homeless people in our church service today. I believe we ought to reach out to our communities. We've got 200 homeless camps in Savannah. We're trying to make a difference. And a lot of people say, well, they don't have anything. They don't have anything. They don't have anything. And that's a problem. And it might be. But that's not our problem. Our problem in our churches is not that we don't have so little. Yes, we've got it pretty good. We've got it pretty good. and we've got so much stuff going on in our life, and we've got so much stuff going on in our mind. The word of God is preached, but it's like water off a duck's back. The word of God goes forth, and somebody says, oh, I've seen this before. Amen. It's what, the 79th camp meeting? Amen. Somebody says, oh, just another camp meeting. Just another camp meeting. My God, no. Every time I come to God's house, it might be my last service. This might be my last camp meeting. This might be my last sermon. I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to go through the motions. I don't have time to play dead church. Amen. I want the glory of God. I want the power of God. And Brother Jeff, I would God would turn this place upside down and say, God, I'd rather have you take this whole world. Take this whole world. But give me Jesus. Anybody in this building tonight, you're glad for the presence of God? You're ready for God to move in your life? Why don't you lift your hand and love God tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I come tonight on this first night, I really feel commissioned of God. We better make some room. We've got to clear some stuff out. We've got to make some room for God to move in our lives this week. Woo! You remember when Jesus marched into Jairus' house? Jairus' daughter was asleep, Jesus said. The Bible was very clear. The house was filled with mourners. Maybe paid weepers, paid mourners. Those that would chant incantations and mourn professionally because of the death of this little girl. But your Bible is very clear. Jesus gives two words. Before the miracle comes, notice what Jesus says. Make room. Make room. Jesus said there's way too much doubt. There's way too much crying. There's way too much mourning. There's too much darkness in this room. Before the miracle comes, he had to clear out the house. I said he had to put some stuff on the outside. Amen. Is there anybody tonight that say, preacher, amen, you're telling me right. Amen. I've got some stuff I need to get out. I've let the world creep in. I've let darkness creep in. I've let doubt creep in. I've let worry creep in. Amen. I've let anxiety creep in. But it's time to push it out. It's time to make room. How many knows we're serving a God that is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever? Our God is not dead. Our God is not little. Our God is not lost power. But we got to give him room. Somebody make room tonight. Amen. Somebody say tonight, I'm going to make room for a miracle in my life. You, glory. Oh, you got to make room for him. You got to make room for him. You got to make room for him. Why don't we see the miracles? Well, there's a lot of debate about, I guess, why don't we see the miracles we used to see? I know there's a doctrine that's starting to float around now that God heals every time. I really don't believe that. I don't believe that, but I've been in some meetings where that's being preached, that God heals every time. And if he doesn't heal, that somebody was out of the will of God or had sin in their life. I don't believe that. You might believe that, but I personally don't believe that. Amen. I believe my grandmother and grandfather died in victory. I believe they went to heaven, and I believe I'm going to see them again. Amen. Anybody got a loved one that died in faith? Amen. You're going to see them again when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. What a hope that we have for heaven. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's also the flip side is true, that when we get a report, the first thing we do, we run to the doctor instead of the prayer line. We'll try five doctors before we try the prayer line. What would happen if we start making room?
What would happen if we'd start making room? I said, what would happen tonight? Amen. If you'd get over your bitterness, what would happen tonight? If you'd get over your carnality, what would happen tonight? If you'd get rid of your complacency and lukewarmness and come to this altar and say, amen, I'm not leaving till I get the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving till God heals my body. I'm ready to see God do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. Anybody interested in an old-fashioned camp meeting? Anybody interested in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Right before Jairus' house, the woman with the issue of blood, she's shut out by the crowd, is she not? She's shut out by the crowd. But she said, if I can get through this crowd and I can touch the hem of his garment, what would happen if you'd come up out of the crowd you're sitting in? What would happen if you'd come up out of that pew right now and say, it's been 3 years since the Holy Ghost spoke through me? What would happen if you'd come up out of that pew and said, you know, it's been so long since I felt the river of the Holy Ghost? What would happen if you'd come up out of that seat and said, I'm pressing through the crowd? My God, amen, do it for us tonight. Amen, church, I'm telling you, we are suffering. Amen, the compromise. We're suffering tonight because we've got so much in our life that if we don't stop, if we don't stop and do something different, the American church, my church, your church, we're in trouble. And I may be wading out in troubled waters here, but I'm going to tell you that if we take out the new converts and a lot of the young folks, there's not a lot of shouting going on in our churches. Take out the young folks. Take out the young marrieds. What about the middle-aged folks? I got an older Sunday school class. They call it the Golden Apples. It's sisters that are 71 years old and up. They said we call it 71 and up because when you get in that class, it's 71 and up. You're going to see Jesus. It's the last Sunday school class. I'm not talking to the Golden Apples tonight. You might have come in a walker, and all you can do is just hit it on the ground a little bit and let the devil know you're still on the side of the Lord. I'm not talking to the older folks that you can't run like you used to run. But I am talking to some of you that'll work all week and make good money. Amen. But you come in the house of the Lord and your mind is everywhere else. Amen. Your mind's on your retirement. Your mind's on your camper and your four-wheeler and your cabin. Your mind's on your boat. Your mind's on your retirement account and Wall Street. Anybody going to help me right now? Amen. And when's the last time we saw, amen, the saints shouting and dancing? I said it's been too long. But God, tonight, right now, on Sunday night, let it fall. I said let it fall. Let it fall on every man, woman, boy, or girl. I said somebody lift your hand right now and say, God, count me in. I'm ready to see a move of the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to see the fire fall. I'm ready to see God send revival. Oh, come on, love him right now, church. Come on, love him right now. Yeah, come on, love him right now. Love him, love him, love him. I might as well get in trouble on the first night, so it's all we're going up from here. Amen. I'm not going to tell you social media is a sin, but what I am going to tell you, there's a lot of folks sitting around in our churches that got everybody else's problems, and they know everything going on in everybody's world, and they come in the house of God, and their mind is so perplexed, and their mind is so filled, that if you call on them to testify, they don't have anything to say. But what do you say? That we say like the psalmist, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his. Anybody want to make room for him right now? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight knocking on this church. Anybody interested in opening up the door? Any young married couple interested in opening up the door? Woo! You got to be willing to let go of some stuff. I'm not even saying it's sin. Jesus didn't say it was sin. He said the cares. What do you really care about? The cares and the deceitfulness of riches. If I can just get a little more. Deceitfulness of riches. If I can just get that promotion. If I can work a little bit overtime. Oh, if I could just get that next degree. You said that 5 years ago. You said that 10 years ago. And it's still the deceitfulness of riches. And the word of God is being choked. There's no breath. There's no life. There's no joy. There's no peace. But oh, tonight I pray, Holy Ghost, right now. Amen. Stop by every pew. I visit every young married couple. I said visit every mom and dad right now. Visit every child of God in this sanctuary. And right now I take authority over the devil. And I say we're going to see a move of God. We're going to see an old-fashioned revival. We're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this camp meeting. Our God is not dead. Our God reigns in glory. Our God is the same. Our God has all power. I say, God, do it. But we've got to make room. Get it out. I say, clean it out. I said, get ready. I said, God's getting ready to visit your house. Woo! God was calling for Saul. But you know what your Bible said? Where is Saul? Where is Saul? Oh, yeah. He's hiding among the stuff. The stuff. That's what's stopping us from having a Holy Ghost camp meeting. Stuff. Woo! Stuff. How many willing to come out of your stuff tonight? I said, how many willing to come out of your stuff? You have some anointing oil around here. Anybody got the anointing oil? Right here. There was anointing that Samuel had for Saul, but he had to come out of the stuff. I said he had to come out of the stuff. Amen. God said, I'm going to give you that anointing, but you got to come up out of that stuff. Anybody right now? Amen. The Holy Ghost is ready to visit your marriage. The Holy Ghost is ready to give himself to you, but you got to come up. I said, you got to come up out of that stuff, and the Holy Ghost. I said, God's going to do it tonight. I said, God's going to do it. Amen. So here's how I want to do it. Amen. If you're really serious with me, if you're really, really serious, you're on my left side right here, and you say, I'd like to have that anointing oil. I want that anointing oil. I want that anointing oil. I'm ready to make room. I'm ready to make room. I want you to stand. How about in this section? It might be three or four, might be one, might be zero. But somebody in this section right now, you say, oh, I'm ready to make room. I'm ready to come up out of that stuff. I want tonight to be the start of an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want you to stand in this section right here. Amen. What about this section? Amen. Anybody interested right now? Hey, Holy Ghost, visit us. My God, Holy Ghost. Amen. Right now, you're standing on your feet. I want you to lift your hands toward heaven and say, God, I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Oh, glory, glory, glory. My God, let's love Him, church. Glory, glory, glory. Hey, however you do your music, go ahead. Brother Randy, Brother Randall, go ahead. Amen. Obey the Lord. But come on, church, let's lift our voice. Come on, let's lift our voice right now. Hey. My God, it's choking out your praise. It's choking out your worship. It is choking out your walk with God. But oh, tonight, I believe you can get the wind of the Spirit back. I believe God will visit you again. That's you, and it's your altar call. Would you start making your way right now and say, Holy Ghost from heaven, wind of your Spirit, would you blow again? My God in heaven, would you visit me right now? Now, oh, glory, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, from the front to the back and side to side. Anybody interested right now? Well, not just about 5 minutes, but why don't we tarry for a while? Come on, why don't we tarry for a while? Hey, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul.
This world.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Come on, church, come on, right now. Oh, Spirit of the Lord.
For happiness in a world.
Oh, come on, young folks. Come on, mom and dad. Hey, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours.
No.
Come on, come on, come on.
No,
I'd rather have Jesus.
Oh,
Lord, I'd rather have Jesus.
Happiness.
Lord, touch me right now. Touch me right now.
In this world that's lost.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Without Him.
Oh, Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God.
This life we live is short. As a vapor, then it's gone. And after death, we stand before the judgment throne.
Oh, praise the Lord, cold, cold.
The master's court and session. To the left or right, he'll beckon. And then you'll know.
You should have found the time for